It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jesse Waters, along with Jed Janine Pirro, Jessica Tarlov, Katie Pavlich, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. Brand new details as the federal indictment of Donald Trump gets unsealed. The former president getting hit with 37 charges in the classified documents case. Trump's aide also getting indicted. The feds say there are 2 instances of Trump showing classified material to people, including a military plan of attack against an unnamed country. Trump's accused of directing an aide to move documents out of a storage room before an FBI subpoena. The DOJ also claiming that Trump suggested to his lawyer that they should hide or destroy the documents. The former president will appear in federal court Tuesday in Miami and is proclaiming his innocence.
And we had tremendous support. But that was a hoax and a scam. And now they're doing it again. It's just a continuation, 7 years. I'm an innocent man. I did nothing wrong. And we will fight this out just like we've been fighting for 7 years. It would be wonderful if we could devote our full time to making America great again.
Special counsel Jack Smith breaking his silence, but not taking questions on why he decided to indict Trump.
Our nation's commitment to the rule of law sets an example for the world. We have one set of laws in this country, and they apply to everyone. It's very important for me to note that the defendants in this case must be presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law.
Joe Biden saying that he doesn't know what the Joe Biden DOJ was doing.
President Biden, have you spoken to Attorney General Merrick Garland yet?
I have not spoken to him at all. I'm not going to speak to him. I have no comment on what happened.
And the liberal media has been popping the champagne since the news broke.
I don't know. It's sad and it's shocking, but it's also kind of it makes me feel a bit relieved.
Line by line by line of this indictment lays out calculation, deliberate misconduct.
You can see the voluminous nature of this, that they have the goods and the receipts. It is bad news. I have never seen anything hit Donald Trump this hard.
That sound that you hear is silence, mm-hmm. largely from Republicans in these moments. Maybe they're reading this 50-page document.
The taped conversation, is that a smoking gun?
Do they consider as part of a potential plea offer something that would proscribe him from running for office again?
Judge Janine Pirro, you've been reading the indictment. How would you characterize it?
You know, I am so livid right now. I am furious. I have spent over 3 decades in a system that I believe in. I'm a believer. But today, I am no longer a believer. What you've got is a weaponized Department of Justice, Department of FBI, and CIA. We saw it from the time he came down that escalator. They started with a Russia collusion hoax, and we know that Hillary Clinton made it up. She even told a president, the Durham report. She told Biden and she told Obama she was going to do it to get rid of her email scandal. So what did they do? The FBI lied. They went to a FISA court judge. They lied 3 more times. They needed to get this guy. And then they violated the Fourth Amendment rights of one American and spied on a presidential candidate. And we now know it was all a hoax started by Hillary Clinton. But that wasn't enough. Then what we had is the FBI telling social media, you can expect that there's going to be Russian disinformation in the form of a Hunter Biden laptop. And that's when they interfered with the presidential election for the second time. And 51 CIA intelligence agents. So we've got the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA say, oh, this is Russian disinformation, when we know damn well it wasn't Russian disinformation. And now what you've got is a loser prosecutor, Jack Smith, who's been slapped down by the United States Supreme Court in one of his prosecutions, that if I were a lawyer, I would give up my law license. I'd be so embarrassed hiding under a rock. He's the one who prosecuted John Edwards. He's got a political agenda. And this is all over Presidential Records Act, which is a civil suit, a civil issue. And so what they do is they put out this narrative indictment. Oh, this is a story of wrongdoing, national defense. And let's put in espionage. We can kind of tie it into the Russian collusion. So people will say, oh, it could have been the Russians. This is nonsense. And I want to know, how many documents were altered? How many documents were destroyed? Zero. Zero. But who destroyed 33,000 documents that she lied about over and over again? Hillary Clinton. She destroyed them. That was tampering with evidence. That was obstruction of justice. And did the DOJ, the FBI care? They didn't give a damn. But now they care. What are they so afraid of? Let him run for office. And if he loses, then that's the end of it. I hate a country that is akin to a third world country. This is a banana republic. When you indict one guy running for president and the guy who's doing it is some old geezer who says, you know what? I don't know anything about it. The day, by the way, the day that we finally get under threat of contempt of the head of the FBI, we finally get a 1023 from a credible FBI source. Credible, $200,000 worth of credibility the FBI paid him, saying Joe took $5 million, Hunter took $5 million from Ukraine. And I'm not done yet. I'll tell you something else. This whole thing with Ukraine, why the heck is everybody going to Ukraine? Why do we put billions and billions and billions of dollars into Ukraine? What the heck is going on over there? Randy Weingarten going to check out education. And Joe Biden goes over there in January of 2018, and he says, if you don't get the prosecutor off that company where my son makes $80,000 a month, and if you don't get rid of him, I'm not going to give you the $1 billion that the United States promised you. Well, Joe, that's called pay to play. It's an organized criminal enterprise that we have as a president and his family. They should be ashamed, and every American should be ashamed of what happened today.
Well said. Jessica, I assume you agree with most of that.
I was struck by a lot of what the judge just said, mostly the fact that she didn't address the documents that were panning across the screen, that there were documents found in the bathroom, in the shower, in the ballroom, in his bedroom, in his office, that there were documents pertaining to our nuclear programs, pertaining to our weaknesses and our allies' weaknesses, what makes us vulnerable, clearly a national security risk. What has been proven time and time again when it comes to this particular case is that Donald Trump and all of his supporters have been lying to us about what happened. So first he went with everything was declassified because he's magic and he can look at things and they become declassified. Now he's on tape admitting the fact that he's showing people, Mark Meadows' team when he's trying to do the book, a document that was still classified and that he knows that he doesn't have the power to declassify it anymore because he's no longer president. He said they were properly secured. I don't think a toilet is a skiff. Maybe I'm wrong.
Better than a Corvette.
Yeah. Or
here you
garage.
Go. Misdirection. Misdirection.
That's
just
not
take. Yes, it
That's
is.
The whole
because
point.
No, it's not. Because in the B block, we'll talk about Ukraine. And then I can hear about Viktor Shokin all over again. He also said that he complied with everything. We know he flouted subpoenas. And now we know that he asked his lawyers to get rid of things. It seems, and yes, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm decently smart. I know some viewers don't necessarily think that, but I'm telling you, and a few of my teachers would agree, that this seems like a pretty clear case of obstruction. And Jonathan Turley's been on our air all day talking about this and saying that these charges are the darlings of what they're looking for because they are easy to prove, especially when you have pictures of them.
So if Hillary actually does get rid of things.
Here we go. This has nothing to do with
it
Hillary Clinton. No, it doesn't.
Do
if you want to argue and you want to talk about, again, the difference between gross negligence and extremely careless, a lot of people will have that conversation. But today, you are looking at boxes of classified documents strewn across a public place, also that were transported to another location, even to the point, whoever the family member who texts, I won't be able to fit all the boxes on the plane. Whatever shall we do?
Okay,
come on,
Candy. But as the judge did say, these are presidential personal records, which he has the sole authority to make personal.
just as the Bill Clinton sock drawer case proved and just as an Obama judge ratified, that is the law. It's a civil situation. It's not criminal. So this is all nothing.
Well, and I'll tell you why it does matter. And it's not just deflection to talk about Hillary Clinton and to talk about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, the fact that classified documents that were taken by Joe Biden when he was a senator ended up in his garage, where Hunter Biden, who has a lengthy, shady record of engaging with people like, I don't know, hookers who are all over his laptop, shady foreign figures, Chinese spies. There's no question about, you know, whether he was possibly allowing them into the house when Joe Biden wasn't around, just sitting in the garage, not to mention he was making these foreign deals with shady figures who did not have the interests of the United States in mind. They have an interest of how they can bribe and make sure that their interest, whether it's for the Chinese Communist Party or for Ukraine, to be changed in their favor. The fact is that Hillary Clinton had a digital box of an unclassified or an unsecure server with classified information on it as a Secretary of State after she left that office in her bathroom. So if you want to talk about how this is all bad, sure, you should not mishandle classified information. But the double standard of justice in this country is becoming a serious problem, not for Donald Trump alone, but for everyday Americans who are looking at their federal government and going, it's being weaponized against people who disagree with the left. And we've seen that over and over and over again. And the Department of Justice puts out this indictment. It looks bad. They always do at the beginning. And then the narrative completely falls apart once there's a response days, weeks, months later from Trump and from the actual evidence that we see. We'll see what happens on Tuesday. We'll see what happens with the trial. But when it comes to the credibility of DOJ, because they've gone through this list of witch hunts, as the president says, for years, 8 years of this, over and over again with different situations, they have no credibility left. So even if these things are true in the indictment, nobody's going to believe it. And that's a problem for American democracy, as the left would
say. It was a grand jury verdict, though. This is the same thing. You're acting
but
as if
there's no way just, to
and the jury
problem.
Wasn't it's full a, of Andy McCabe, Peter Strzok, and George Soros.
It's just an
they
indictment.
They were a jury of his peers.
It's just an indictment. It doesn't mean
it
anything.
Doesn't
it hasn't even gone to trial.
Wait a minute. The grand jury's a jury of his peers?
The people who are selected
yeah,
for
well,
it?
Yeah, you have a jury of your peers when they get to hear both sides.
Let's go, Greg. Mr. Gutfeld.
Yes, thank you. That
You're
is
welcome.
My name. I don't, this isn't, I think most people understand this isn't about breaking laws. It's about breaking Trump. Even the charges are theatric. I mean, dozens of mini indictments, you know, basically like they just chopped up a candy bar into little bite-sized snacks. It's meant to exhaust and overwhelm not just Trump, but his supporters, right? It's meant to psychologically flood the zone up to the election to keep Trump's persuasive abilities at bay, to keep Trump's supporters occupied, to scare away donors, right?
Yep.
Nobody's going to want to give money if they think that he's going to go to jail. We know that this whole classified document stuff is a murky place. It's like everybody knows that. So this is like the choice to do this is definitely and only definitely a political one. The problem, though, is with this exhaustion strategy, you think it wears people down. But when you look at Trump supporters and Trump, it winds them up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the Democrats or the media ever understood that concept or the bigger concept, which is always their problem, the concept of going too far. You know, they don't understand limits, right? So you have no limits in criminal justice reform. Where is that going? You have no limits on the woke gender nonsense, right? So when you come out against the surgical mutilation of children, they accuse you of being transphobic because they don't understand the limit. They don't understand if you say you want a border, you're all xenophobic because they don't understand the limit. The persecution of Trump and not the prosecution is based on the fact that they have no limit. They don't understand. They, because they classified him as worse than Hitler, you can do anything. So you have leaks, piled up charges, an overwhelming antipathy toward Trump that is creating this relentless witch hunt. And you think that trotting out this stuff is going to alienate him? No. It just feeds their energy. When you are taking, when you're taking their candidate off the stage, do you think they're just going to walk away from that? You're taking their choice of president. 75 million people know what you're doing. It's not about Trump. It's about his voters. When you investigate Joe Biden, nobody cares about his voters. Nobody does. We know why they voted for Joe. They didn't like Trump. But you go after Trump, something different happens. You go after the people that support him. And when you arrest your rival, you think that people think the election in 2020 was corrupt. You think they're going to buy the results of this. They are worsening a divide, right? They're pouring salt on a wound because they don't care about the people. They only care about the politics. And that's all I got to say.
Well said, everybody. Up next, Mr. Malarkey, Joe Biden laughing off a serious allegation of bribery as we get shocking new details on the corrupt scheme.
Meet the future.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
We're getting brand new details on the Biden bribery scheme. House Republicans doing the FBI document alleging that then-Vice President Biden was paid $5 million by an executive with Ukrainian natural gas firm Burisma, which you may remember is the same company that his son Hunter Biden had a board seat on. The president brushing it off by using his signature catchphrase.
The bribery allegation, Congresswoman Nancy Mace says there's damning evidence in the FBI file that he sold out the country. Do you have a response to the congressional Republicans?
Where's the money? I'm joking.
Mr. President,
it's a bunch of malarkey.
So, Jesse, the money is in all those shell companies that Hunter Biden allegedly set up to basically money launder to many different Biden family members.
He's taunting us, isn't he? He's like, yeah, where is it?
You're like, we know where it is.
We haven't found it yet, right? God, this guy's cocky. So you have $10 million going to Joe and Hunter from Burisma. This allegation popped in 2017. That means the FBI had this allegation during the impeachment over Ukraine. Donald Trump fingered the Biden family for this exact scheme and got impeached for it. And the FBI knew it had legs the entire time. And then in the election, they spiked the laptop till. And then they raided his house. But everything's fair at the Department of Justice. How about this? The Burisma guy is paying Joe Biden $5 million to what? To fire the prosecutor, which Joe Biden admitted on tape he fired. There you go. That's exactly what this impeachment hoax was all about. And then the guy says, but we're going to disguise it through shell companies so the money doesn't actually get seen going to Joe's bank account. Wait a second. It's exactly how the Chinese set up the money. Launder it through shell companies, but it doesn't hit Joe's bank account. It only hits nine other members of the Biden family's bank account, like his granddaughter and his brother and his corrupt son. So it doesn't matter if you don't pay Joe, if you pay the whole family, and then the whole family pays for houses and cars and tuition. That's a bribe. And that's an impeachable offense. And the fact that you now have this allegation and Tony Bobulinski and the laptop and the Comer records from one bank. Remember, there's 10 banks left. Who knows what they're going to find in those 10 other banks? This thing's just getting started. And that's why the Republicans have to open up an impeachment inquiry to get to the bottom of this corruption.
So, Greg, when Joe Biden continues to deny all of this, even though he was Hunter Biden's business partner, isn't he just insulting the intelligence of everybody who can look at this and go, it's obvious that he was benefiting from Hunter Biden's business dealings?
And it hurts Hunter's feelings because he worked really hard on this stuff. You know, the people in the media, they drooled over what they could get on the Trump family business. But at least those businesses were real. Even Trump University sold the name. It was a licensing deal. But they produced profits in exchange for services, Trump hotels, whatever, real estate. The only product the Biden family produces are empty crack vials and outbreaks of chlamydia. I mean, they had to launder that money. God knows where Hunter was inserting those bills. But it's not so much that the Biden family is a criminal family, because they are. It's that the media is so lethargic about this corruption. You know, there's nothing that comes close to this that the Trump family did. You wonder where Woodward and Bernstein are. But I have to say, turnabout is fair play. The problem with weaponizing things that have to be fair to all people, your turn in the barrel will come. I'm not that interested in locking up Hunter or Joe Biden, but the other side would lock up every one of us if they could. So let's go.
Let's effing go.
Let's take him out. Let's put him behind bars.
All of them, Pelosi.
All of them. Every Biden. Dr. Jill. She's not a real doctor. How long has she been practicing on patients, telling them that she's an actual doctor?
Jessica, you know, the media has tried to spin this as if Republicans are kind of making up a scandal about the Biden family. Democrats have also said that. But the Obama White House and State Department had serious concerns about Burisma corruption. In fact, the press office was asked about this and Hunter Biden's dealings at the time and his connection to this firm. And yet Joe Biden continues to say he had nothing to do with it. I mean, the evidence shows the contrary on a very basic level.
So I agree with Elizabeth Warren, who was the first person who was running for president in 2020, Democrat, to come out and say that that arrangement, having your son working for a company like that, would not be acceptable and that the ethics rules need to be revised. And I think that we can all agree that that should be the case. It shouldn't be allowed. And Joe should say that, that this isn't something that he would do again. But we have yesterday Chad Pergram, our own.
Our very own
Chad Pergram, which by saying our very own makes him the best, which
yes.
he is,
yes.
saying that a source familiar with the document told Fox News, to be clear, the document does not say Joe Biden received any payments. Now, I know what you're going to say.
We disowned
him. This is not how the mob works. Chad, I'm sorry. Your tenure has been great, but Greg has disowned you. I understand when you're a mafia family, it's never written down, right?
Yeah.
Because you have a really rich granddaughter off of it. But Republicans like Comer, Nancy Mace, Chuck Grassley continue to go on TV and say that they have a thing. They have evidence of a thing that they don't have. On the Victor Shokin front.
Wait, the family was bribed.
No. Joe Biden.
No, the family was bribed.
No, that's, well, you're not going to be able to put.
Okay, I'll
Joe
just
away.
Bribe your husband. You're innocent. I'll just bribe your husband and you do what I want you to do. That's how it works, Jessica.
What's great about making these circuitous arguments is that you can never be wrong, but you also can never be right. So we'll just keep going.
Well, I just was right.
Well, Judge, you know,
not according to
isn't this
people.
What this has always like been about Joe Biden's role in this? Like, as a former vice president, the current president.
Are you referring to the big guy?
Yeah, the big guy. Yeah. It's always been about the big guy.
Yeah, it's always been about Joe Biden. You have to wonder how a guy who's been in Washington for 47 years, a half a century, with nothing to speak of, has attained the highest levels of power in the United States. In some of the shadiest business dealings that we have ever seen in the history of this country, in the most weaponized Justice Department and law enforcement agencies and intelligence agencies. I mean, I don't even need to go much past that. But what I will tell you is that the 1023 that came out saying Joe Biden was given five in Ukraine, you know, that country where we keep giving billions and Raskin comes out, a Democrat congressman, as if he knows everything, right? He comes out and he says, it was likely to be disinformation. I mean, don't they have another playbook? It sounds like everything that the Democrats don't like is disinformation. But Bill Barr, the Attorney General of the United States, comes out and he says the information was checked out. It was determined that it's not likely that it was disinformation. The exact opposite, and that it was to be continued in terms of the investigation. And Bill Barr doesn't understand why they haven't concluded that investigation. I will add my humble opinion, that is that the very existence of any information relating to the Bidens will be covered up. He is corrupt. And the amazing part of it is in this 1023 that came in June of 2020, before the laptop, before Bobulinski, in that 1023, the FBI credible source says they talk about the big guy. So we hear from the big guy from the same credible source that's corroborated in the laptop, corroborated by Bobulinski, corroborated now by Comer and his information and the shell companies and the LLCs and the 10 million, 20 million, et cetera.
Yep. And Biden denies it all. All right. Coming up, California's gov is going for your guns. Gavin Newsom calling for a major crackdown on the Second Amendment.
Goes down on any given Friday night.
More shopping?
One of America's most liberal governors is declaring war on the Second Amendment. Gavin Newsom wants to change the Constitution to curb your gun rights.
What do we need this 28th Amendment for?
Well, California's gun death rate today is 73% lower than Texas. These federal judges want to turn America into Texas. We cannot let that happen.
The 19th Amendment to the Constitution that gave women the right to vote, it took 40 years or so. Do you think that the 28th Amendment, if it's passed, will it happen in your lifetime?
I hope so. If you don't start, it will never happen.
All right, Jessica. There's no denying that restricting the Second Amendment is very popular with Democrat voters. Is this his play to the White House?
It definitely feels like a waiting in the wings moment, right? Everyone's supporting Joe, as it should be, but he's soaking up as much national attention as possible. But it is also something that will not only energize voters, but something that a lot of people want. When you look at what he's going for, and we should note at the outset, it's very unlikely something like this could happen. He needs 33 other states to do it. But he's talking about things that are popular with 90% of the population, like stricter background checks or waiting periods before you can get your guns. And I think that it's an important conversation to be having. And I think it's very smart and strategic, obviously, of the California governor to be doing it.
Okay. You know, Katie, I have a lot of friends in Texas and in southern states where kids grow up with guns.
Yep.
But it's interesting that Newsom also is thinking about raising the age of possessing a gun from 18 to 21, as if an 18-year-old isn't mature enough, especially if that kid grew up using guns.
Well, they've also shot that down in the courts already, where they've tried to raise the limit to 21 for both handguns and rifles. You can't do that constitutionally. You have to allow one or the other, just like you can't ban all concealed carry. You have to allow constitutional carry or some kind of concealed carry through a permitting process. You can't just ban it all.
Right.
But in terms of who he's talking to, it is just a political statement. It's not happening. It's a constitutional amendment. It's not something the president can do by himself, not to mention getting all the states on board. And when I go to the range, I'm a minority, meaning as a white woman, I'm a minority. The majority of people who are buying firearms in this country are minorities and women. And so when it comes to the Second Amendment, they think it's a cut and dry 50-50 issue. It's not. And we have millions more new gun owners in the past 10 years. They're not doing that because the government's taking care of them. They're doing it because crime rates in their cities are going through the roof, and they feel like they're being left behind and allowing criminals to run the streets, and they don't want to be victims. And so I think he's talking to the wrong constituency, and it's just not realistic at all.
Well, it's interesting that California had more gun crime, more total violent crime than Florida and Texas, where gun laws are less strict. I mean, when we get into the issue of, you know, acting like gun reform is the solution to violent crime.
He's like the guy that wears too much cologne, and he thinks the cologne smells really good, and everybody else is like,
so
dude,
true.
You're wearing too much cologne.
That's true.
He is positioning himself to be Mr. California. The rest of the country isn't in love with California. California is crazy. He's trying to check every box on the liberal left to be their guy to run nationally. That's not going to play in swing states. That's not going to win you Ohio, Florida, North Carolina, those moderate states that you need to win nationally. You look at California, Judge, he's trying to own homelessness, drug addiction, crime. He's shutting down power plants. And now he wants to get rid of the Second Amendment. He is going to leave nationally so fast and run back to California to its safe arms where he belongs. He could have run for president maybe 10 years ago when California was doing okay. Mm-hmm. Not anymore.
Greg, according to the Bureau of Justice survey, only 7% of prisoners arrested for a firearm used during their offense purchase the gun legally. Now,
yes,
there's a shock.
Exactly. I would like to introduce an amendment that limits the use of hair gel. Do you imagine him? He'd have to pry it out of his cold, dead hands. He's like the He's like the relative, the young relative that is hanging out in the hospice around Gramps, is waiting for him to choke on the strained peas. He's walking over every now and then. He's like going to unplug the machines.
You need a pillow?
Yeah, you need a pillow. Like, oh, I tripped. I fell. It is pretty obvious what he's doing here. He's trying to get as much attention. He's like a child banging on pots. Here, I'm over here, guys. I'm over here, guys. He's also being roundly humiliated every time he opens his mouth because, as you say, everything is political. He says, I want to arrest DeSantis. The reporter says, okay, you're going to arrest DeSantis? He goes, no, that's hyperbole. It's like, well, you said it. So this is now, guarantee you, this will be another thing that he will say, I didn't mean. It was hyperbole. Nobody could take him seriously anymore because he doesn't even take himself seriously.
And women hate that when you say, I didn't mean that.
Yeah, women really don't like Gavin Newsom.
That's true. You're absolutely right.
And women like him?
They do.
Have you
She's
seen Gavin
sarcastic.
Newsom?
What?
All right.
Katie disagrees.
All right.
Everybody
Judge
likes the way he looks.
See.
Sean Hannity will go one-on-one with Gavin Newsom in a must-see interview on Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. No topic is off limits, so don't miss it. And the fastest is coming up next.
Yay.
That was a very old picture. She was daddy's little girl, mama's.
That's in your book.
It's in the book. Okay, welcome back. It's time for the fastest. First up, a lot of unexpected and even embarrassing things can happen when you're live on air, like telling someone you love them.
Thank you, Phil, very much. Great to catch up.
I love you. Thank you.
Our telephone, did he just say he loved me, Dave? Did I just hear Philip say he loved me? I could swear I just heard him say I love you. Did he not just say that?
A reporter ending a radio interview by telling the host, I love you, not because he actually loved him, but because he was texting his mom and blurted out loud what he was typing. Do things like this ever happen to you, Greg?
Who hasn't done this? This is hilarious. Yeah. I was on the phone with the IRS.
Oh, did you tell him you loved him?
Yeah, no, and I was texting my wife, and I accidentally said, thanks for ruining my life. And it was... clearly not meant for the IRS. So, anyway, the big story is Philip Wegman looks just like you. So let's talk about Jessica Tarloff's missing twin.
Yeah. Oh, he's not missing. He's loving his mom.
There he is.
That is you after the transition.
Yes.
Oh my God. Put a tie on her.
Don't smile.
Honestly.
Don't smile.
Without
Take your glasses off. Take your glasses off right now.
Take your glasses off.
Now,
oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's the same face.
This is the greatest.
You look great.
So good.
Why don't you? Never mind.
Why aren't I what?
Never. Don't even say it.
Well, I know Phil, and I know his girlfriend, Emily Jashinsky, and talking to her about it, and she was saying his family is loving this. And I think it's sweet that no matter how busy he is, even if he's in the middle of an interview, takes time for his mom.
And says,
he should be fired.
What?
What are you texting your mom while you're doing an interview? No, fire this guy.
Jesse, do you text your mom during the show?
No, my mom texts me. But
I think... write her back?
I can't. I don't have enough time. But more people should say, I love you. Janine?
Yes. Do you love me?
I love you. Jessica? I love you too.
I hate that I have to like say
Katie,
publicly.
I love you, and Greg, I really love you.
Yeah, I can tell.
That's nice.
What are the color of my eyes, Jesse?
All right, so here's the debate: should a man ever know another man's eye color? Greg knew Harold Ford Jr.'s eye color off the top of his head.
Well,
how suspicious is that?
Suspicious. They're beautiful. He changes it?
No.
What did you say?
I said. I don't know what I said, but I didn't say that he was wearing color contacts.
No, he's got blue eyes. I mean, I got blue eyes, you know.
No, you
blue eyed men.
Yeah, we all know each other. We're in the same.
We'll
get to the second topic. I like this one.
Okay. Up next, a self-proclaimed, quote, liberal woman going viral after saying it's hard to find a masculine man who's not conservative.
As a liberal woman, it is really hard to find a man who is willing to play the more traditional masculine role in the relationship, who wants to pay on the first date, who wants to open your door, who has that want and desire to take care of you and to provide, who is not a conservative.
Yeah, duh.
preemptively calling BS on that. Brian, you are very masculine. Judge, what do you think about this?
No, I don't think a guy's masculine because he pays a tab or opens a door.
It's nice.
It's nice. Yeah, it's from another lifetime. But I think a lot of men are conservative.
Do that again.
Kevin Costner, who's a liberal.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not a liberal.
He campaigned for Pete Buttigieg. No.
Yeah, but then he flipped.
Greg.
Look, the reason why there's a struggle to find masculine liberals to date is the liberal men are becoming women.
Yeah.
So that's the problem.
Oh, all of them.
Yeah.
All of them. All of them. It is time for Greg's massive generalization. All liberal men
that's
are turning into women.
One.
Stay in your lane.
Conservative men to find conservative women. That's also a problem. Conservative men cannot find conservative women today because most women are liberal.
Because the Republican policies are bad for women.
No.
Jesse, what do you think?
Oh, she got that.
Because they keep them alive.
Because they let them go more and just
that hurt.
We're not going down.
Are you okay?
Am I okay? Yeah, I feel great.
I'll leave you with this. You did this. You turned men into women. You did this to us. You said we had to be emotional. You said we had to cry. You said we had to act like you.
That was your mom, Jesse.
And now you're complaining. You did this to yourself.
I have a very masculine, liberal husband.
Yes, she does.
Thank you. Female Friday is up next.
Feel like a brand new bus. Meet the team.
Fan Mail Friday, we got time for maybe one question. What is the luckiest thing that has ever happened to you? And if anybody says, meet my spouse, get out, because that's too trite and platitudinous. That's the, not even a word. Jessica, the luckiest thing I would say is probably getting a job here and working on the Five. So we answered you.
I feel incredibly lucky. I think that this is a really great job, and it's super fun, even though it looks like a torture chamber most of the time.
By the way, you can say what you want. I was just kidding.
Yeah. I don't really know. I mean, if you're cutting out the spouse thing, because I think that we would all say that.
Cut it out. It's like an easy thing to say.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, for any job, like for me, it was being elected DA. I mean, it was a dream of my lifetime. But the luckiest, but that was because of work and preparation and smart and all that stuff. But the luckiest day of my life is when I was born in this country.
Nice. That's the answer, Jessica. You just got wasted by the judge.
All right.
Yeah, but we're going shopping later.
Oh, there you go. What are you getting
fun.
Me? I'm a size.
A lab diamond.
I want a blood diamond.
No, we don't do that.
Blood diamonds only.
A blood diamond. I want people to suffer for my luxury. Jesse, I'm joking.
I was almost paralyzed when I threw out my back.
Ooh. Really?
I stared paralysis in the face.
Really?
And I had a great surgeon, and I recovered, and now I'm back better than ever.
Wow, good. Very lucky. Very lucky indeed. America's unlucky, because we would have preferred you to suffer. Katie?
I would say luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
That's right.
So if you're lucky, it's probably because you do a good job of preparing.
It's not getting lucky. It's being lucky, Katie.
Well, I'm not lucky. It's called Katie's Law. What will go wrong? Absolutely will go wrong twice. So just get ready for it.
Katie's Law.
I had a good first grade teacher.
Worse than Murphy.
That was lucky. Forced me to write. That was lucky. Because, you know, I didn't really grow that much after that. So there was no athletic scholarships for me.
No basketball career.
Yeah.
But now we're lucky because you know how to write.
Exactly. I think we've all come full circle.
The world is lucky.
Yes,
Red,
yes.
To have you.
Just
and the
I
viewers
thinking.
Are lucky because we have one more thing.
The Chase Inc.
Time now for one more thing, Greg.
Oh, tonight, what a show. 11 o'clock, Dagan McDowell, Kevin O'Leary, yes, Jim Florentine, and of course, Kat. Speaking of Kat, tomorrow night, 10 p.m., she will be hosting Fox News Saturday Night. This Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern, that's the new Fox show for cool people. So, Jesse, you won't be on it.
Real original name. I love the way they came up with that. Yeah. Judge.
Okay, a new pit stop to a national park lets you fill up your car, but not with gas. The Cheez-It stop in Joshua Tree, California features a Cheez-It pump, which shoots a snack into your cooler, carry-on, or right through your car window.
Shoots a snack into your cooler.
Aside from the pump, there are plenty of collectibles. The station is only open until this Sunday, so if you love Cheez-Its, be sure to check it out ASAP. That's
Cheez-It
true.
Gas.
Yeah. Mm. You're going to be shooting snacks into coolers this
weekend? I'll be shooting snacks out of my butt.
You know, you are
Katie,
just like a crap.
Anyway. Okay, go so home. I just got back from Normandy, France, where I was on a program with the Best Defense Foundation, and we took 43 World War II veterans back to Normandy for the 79th anniversary of D-Day, and had the honor and privilege of being a caregiver for André Chapaz, who was an aviation engineer who built a lot of the runways actually in Guam. There he is there. So we visited a school. The streets of Normandy fill up for these guys as if they're rock stars. They're there in the American Cemetery in Normandy. So it was a complete honor and a program of a lifetime to witness that experience. And thank you to all the World War II veterans for saving the world and spending time with the greatest generation was absolutely amazing.
Wonderful, Katie.
Good job, Best Defense.
Jessica.
Okay, so huge congratulations to my sister-in-law, Elisa, who got engaged on Monday in Grand Teton Park in Wyoming, or should I say National Park. That's John, her was boyfriend, now fiancé. Absolutely adore him. She was victorious all over it. They are just wonderful people. Move faster. That's her with Cleo, who's very adorable. with John, and then hopefully, 10 hard, hurry up, let's
Baby
get the kids
like
in.
Philip Wegman.
That's not true. And that's Sienna and Adriana,
right.
John's
we
daughters.
We got to go. Have a great weekend.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.